You're a little older and a lot wiser. The future is yours. Define aging on your own terms. Welcome to AARP Without Limits with your host, Mike Olander.
Hello and welcome. This is AARP Without Limits. WPTF Talk Radio, we are disrupting aging with the power of 50,000 watts. And our podcast, available anytime on demand at WPTF.com or through our Facebook, AARP North Carolina. I'm your host, Mike Olander of AARP North Carolina, and we've got a very different kind of program for you today, folks. AARP recently had a teletown hall with AARP members living in the counties most heavily impacted by Hurricane Helene. Karen Brinson Bell, Executive Director of the North Carolina State Board of Elections, who we've had on the show a few times now, was with us to answer questions about voting in those counties most affected by the storm. And though we broadcast the program right here in the Triangle, we do post our shows, all of our shows, as a podcast statewide. And we know that many of you listening right now have family and friends living in Western North Carolina. So today, we're going to share with you some of the moments from that program. We hope that this program is helpful as well as informative. We've got a lot to get to, so we're going to jump right into it. So first, some background. On October 7th, the State Board of Elections unanimously approved a list of emergency measures, which were then unanimously approved by the state legislature through the Disaster Recovery Act of 2024. And this was to help Hurricane Helene victims vote in the election. AARP organized a teletown hall to make sure that older voters living in those affected counties had the most updated, accurate information regarding voting, and they had the chance to ask their questions directly to Karen Brinson Bell of the State Board of Elections. Now, a little bit of the information that you're about to hear is a bit out of date. This show is airing right now on Sunday, November 3rd, and some of the information Karen mentions is related to early voting, and that obviously no longer applies by the time we're hearing this, but the vast majority of it still applies right now through 7:30 p.m. on Election Day. So the first question for Karen Brinson Bell was about the big picture of voting in the western part of the state. What specific measures has the State Board of Elections implemented to ensure voting is accessible in areas affected by the storm?
Well, thank you for having me on, Michael, and thank you to everyone who's taken time out of their busy days to join us. So I hope that this is valuable information for you today and information that you can take back to others in your community as we try to make sure that everyone's well informed. And I think that goes to some of the specific measures that we put in place through the state board's actions and through the actions of the legislature that were signed into law by the governor. There was, first and foremost, I want to stress that every bit of this was done unanimously. The resolution that the state board passed was unanimous. So that's a bipartisan effort. Similarly, when the legislature passed the Disaster Relief Act, that was unanimous. So also bipartisan. And then, as I mentioned, the governor signed it into law. So what we did is, you know, here at the state board, with our experience, talking with the counties themselves, talking with our field support who are out, who work regionally in those affected areas, we were able to put together a list of provisions that we knew would help them to deliver voting. So some of the provisions actually aren't very voter-facing, but it ultimately helps the voters. So giving flexibility to the county boards of elections to relocate polling places, to transfer voters to a polling place that would be more accessible to them after this disaster, being able to expand opportunities for voters to return their ballots if they voted absentee by mail, even being able to reassign workers and them not have to be of their election day precinct. Those types of things were the provisions in the state board's resolution to give them flexibility. Also, the ability to change up their early voting plans was really key because of so many of the facilities being affected by Helene. And so those provisions pretty much were transferred over to the Disaster Recovery Act and have been in effect. The only difference in that aspect is the State Board identified, because their authority is to take action because of an emergency situation, and you have to give evidence to that. And so we identified the 13 most affected counties. The legislature in their act identified the 25 counties that had been declared in the federal disaster declaration initially. So that's how it got expanded from 13 to 25, but that gives us the ability to, you know, effectively deliver voting, and we can talk more in depth about how we've done that, but it gives just the flexibility that was needed in order to ensure that we would be able to reach every voter and get voting to the people.
Karen, how will polling places be adjusted or relocated to accommodate voters in areas that were heavily impacted by the hurricane?
Yeah. So, obviously, we have already been underway with our early voting. That began October the 17th, and we had early voting open statewide in all 100 counties, including those Helene-affected sites. As we worked through the process, we were very fortunate that none of the county board offices were damaged by Helene. So that meant our equipment was safe, our ballots were safe, and the ability to get those offices back online with internet service, phone service, that sort of thing was very manageable. We managed to do that within a week, and that meant they could move forward with, recognizing where there might need to be changes in the voting sites. With early voting, as we headed into the start of that, we were able to identify 76 of the sites out of the 80 that were planned in the 25 areas could open. And when we were working that, we actually thought that some of those would be operating by generator. But, it's just remarkable the work and coordination with state emergency management and with the power companies and the line personnel. They were able to get all 76 sites that we could open for early voting opened with power. Now, some still had to have porta potties and things of that nature to make them functional, but to have power was substantial to get those operations going and to be open this entire 17-day period. So early voting is open right now in those counties, and those sites are listed. You can do a search on ncsbe.gov through our early voting site tool, and also through your county board of elections. Those sites will be open until November 2nd, which is this Saturday, and all sites statewide close on that final Saturday at 3 p.m. So that's early voting. With Election Day, there's more Election Day sites. Statewide, we have around 2,600 Election Day voting sites, and those are obviously set up by precinct. And we had to do a lot of work to assess what was feasible there, a lot more damage to those sites. And so we have had to relocate. The goal was always, if we had to relocate, that perhaps it could just be, a church building that was down the road, or a community center across the way, or a fire department or something of that nature, to where there would not be a big lift to ask of the voter in terms of reaching their voting site. And remarkably, the vast majority of our Election Day voting sites will be open, and they will be staffed by the same poll workers that we're accustomed to working with. Now, just last week, the first part of last week, we thought a lot of these might have to be served with blank slate tents, is what emergency management calls them. These are very large. They can be heated. They can be cooled. They can be secured. They're ADA compliant, but they are tents. And we thought we were going to be using about 15 of those across the region, and we're down to, I think, just 7 as we head into Election Day. And I always hesitate with that because each day we see so much improvement to where we have been able to, you know, at times relocate back into the brick and mortar structures that we wanted to use and not set up a tent in that parking lot or something of that nature. So it's just really, it's really come together. And then, you know, there's even been circumstances where we've been able to go in to isolated communities and set up voting. In particular, there's a community in Yancey County, about 100 folks that are isolated. You actually have to have a four-wheel drive vehicle to cross the river right now. Otherwise, it's about, my understanding is about an hour and 45-minute drive to get into the county seat of Burnsville because they have to go through Tennessee. But those folks had a relief tent that had been set up for them. We were able to use that tent. It will be used as an Election Day voting site. The members of that community, none of them, as my understanding, had served as a polling place worker in the past, but they were willing to be trained. And so that staff in Yancey County's Board of Elections has gone out there. They've worked with them. It will be bipartisan in who's delivering voting to their neighbors on Election Day. It'll be in a tent, but it'll be in their community, and they'll be able to vote.
This is a special edition of AARP Without Limits. We'll be right back after this short break. And we are back. This is AARP Without Limits. Earlier this week, AARP North Carolina hosted a teletown hall with AARP members living in the 25 counties most affected by Hurricane Helene. Karen Brinson Bell, the executive director of the State Board of Elections, was with us to share information about voting in those counties and to answer questions. Karen, with many people displaced, voting by mail is a necessity. How did the Board of Elections ensure that mail-in ballots were available and securely delivered to those in affected regions?
Absentee by mail ballots had just gone out when Hurricane Helene hit. And so we had to work very closely with the Postal Service to make sure, you know, where were we in terms of, you know, any loss in the mail stream? Had they arrived and now the mailbox is gone? That sort of thing. And so those were some of the very first provisions we knew we had to address. And so individuals who requested an absentee ballot, if they had not received it or if it was damaged, lost in the storm, all they had to do, and they can still do, is contact their county board of elections to have one reissued to them. We were able to work with the Postal Service, so much of their delivery came back online as the roads were cleared. But if they could not do that, they were able to hold the mail. So if a voter wanted it delivered, an absentee ballot delivered to their home address, they could still, if they could access their servicing post office, they could go and pick it up from there. But we know a lot of people were displaced as well. And so we could reissue or newly issue a ballot. Anytime someone requests an absentee ballot, they can have it sent to any address where they will be. That's, you know, where they're absent from Election Day is the idea behind the term. And so for those displaced individuals, we have mailed ballots to, you know, work addresses, or we've mailed ballots to where they've relocated in another state with family or friends. And they're still a registered voter of their county. So they can vote that ballot and send it back to their county board of elections. We are emphasizing we're 1 week out, and the Postal Service says allow for a week for mail to be properly returned. And folks, no matter whether in affected counties or not, the deadline to return an absentee ballot in North Carolina now is 7:30 p.m. Election Day. So next Tuesday, November 5th, it has to be received to the County Board of Elections by 7:30 p.m. So these affected voters always have the ability to take it to their County Board of Elections or to an early voting site in their county. But the provisions within the resolution by the board and then the act by the legislature gives them the ability to drop off that absentee ballot at another county board of elections in the state, or their near relative can drop off their ballot for them at another county board of elections. Just the same, they can do that at any early voting site across the state or even here to the state board. That's not normal, but those are the provisions that were put into place to help them get their ballot counted. And we're following, you know, very strict chain of custody, logging, and so forth to make sure that we account for those ballots and get them back to the home county, the issuing county, for those voters if they do deliver it elsewhere in the state.
Thank you, Karen. Communicating all of these changes, I'm sure, was a huge challenge. What efforts were made to inform voters in these disaster-affected areas about these changes to polling locations and voting procedures?
We have done a number of measures to try to make sure we get the word out. There have been flyers that were placed at disaster relief centers and at shelters to try to make sure people still knew about their voting rights and ability to cast their ballot. Of course, we immediately set up the dedicated webpage that you mentioned, ncsbe.gov/Helene. We also have applied some of the relief funds to a public service announcement campaign. So we've got messaging on the radio, in print ads for local newspapers, but also major metropolitan newspapers across the state where people might have relocated to or have family who can get them information. We've got social media, as you mentioned, and then also some digital billboards and mobile billboards that are displaying information to try to help people be familiar. And then I can say that I appreciate you giving me this opportunity to talk to everyone. And certainly we've just tried to do that, is to make ourselves available for the media to help get the word out and you know, to allow people to listen in to know what's going on.
During the program, we also took live questions from AARP members living in the affected areas. We received a great question from a woman named Karen living in Asheville.
I live in Asheville, actually in West Asheville, and I am disabled. I usually take Mountain Mobility as a service that's provided by Buncombe County to my doctors and medical visits. What I wanted to find out, I want to vote in person on Election Day. Is it possible, would it be okay if I took Mountain Mobility to my polling site, voted, and have them brought me home like it would be to a doctor visit?
I believe that that is being provided to voters. Now, different counties have different policies, so I don't want to misspeak about that, but I believe if you reach out to Mountain Mobility, they will get you to your voting place. And there is the option, and this is another area where we've provided flexibility, if they can't get you to your individual voting site, they can take you to the County Board of Elections, and we do have voting set up for any voter for the election in these affected areas at your County Board of Elections for Election Day. And, of course, there's the option for early voting. And, you know, whether it's through Mountain Mobility or through a caretaker or a family member or a friend, if they can get you to a voting site, we have the option for voters to vote curbside. And that's not just in affected counties. Any individual who is unable to enter the voting place for health or disability reasons is able to vote curbside. And that means that we have a worker who serves as your feet to come out, get your information, check in for you, bring back your sign-in sheets, get your ballot for you, and they will take it into the ballot box for you as well. So that's
wonderful.
Always an option.
Wonderful. Thank you. I'm sorry. I'm speaking to Karen directly then. Thank you, Karen. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Karen. I like your name.
Oh, yes. It's a wonderful name. Great names think alike. And voting is the best thing to do, no matter who it's for. Anybody who's listening, just put your vote in. That's what really, really counts, to have a voice.
We also received an excellent question from a caller regarding lost identification. So we asked, what steps are being taken to assist individuals who may have lost their identification or voter registration information due to hurricane damages?
We may very well have a lot of people who have lost their ID through all of this. And so we have emphasized that within the provisions for North Carolina's photo ID laws, which went into effect last fall, but of course this is our largest election. We already had a campaign out there trying to get people informed about photo ID requirements in North Carolina. Most will show their driver's license, but obviously in this circumstance, they may have become damaged in the flood, what have you. there's many options for voters, not just those affected by Helene. A voter can go to their county board of elections and get a free voter ID, only for voting purposes, but we look up your information in our voter registration. We have the ability to create that ID there on site and issue that ID to the voter for voting purposes. So that's always there. They also, there's an exception form that we have permitted in North Carolina. If someone, whether in an affected county or not, does not have an acceptable form of ID, they can complete an exception form identifying why. That exception form already gave a provision for natural disaster. It didn't say Helene specifically. It said anyone in North Carolina affected by a natural disaster within the 100 days leading up to the election can mark that exception form as the reason they were not able to provide ID. They will be provided a provisional ballot where that exception form will be included, but that ballot will go before the county board and be counted during the certification period just because of the exception. There's other exceptions as well. I mean, it could be for religious reasons to not be that they can't be photographed, but there's also reasonable impediments is the phrase, where they were not able to get an ID because of transportation issues or conflicts with work or school schedule. So there's many provisions on that exception form, but obviously in this circumstance, for those Helene-affected counties, if they do not have an acceptable form of ID, then they can complete the exception form. I will highlight for people that there are a number of acceptable forms of ID. Most, as I mentioned, will show their driver's license, but veteran ID, military ID, there's tribal IDs that are accepted, passport is accepted. There's many university and public employee IDs that are acceptable. So, perhaps, the driver's license was lost in all of this, but maybe some of the other items were not, and they're able to access those and could show that as an acceptable form of ID if they don't want to complete the exception form.
Karen, we've heard a lot about early voter turnout across the state, but what about in the western region specifically? How has hurricane damage affected voter turnout and participation in these affected areas?
I think coming into this, we knew it was going to be pretty daunting. But the resiliency in the area, the fact that there's been such a well-prepared coordination with state emergency management and the National Guard and so many others that we work with and have worked with through the pandemic, through other disasters and so forth, we felt really strongly that if we could just get those sites open, that people would turn out. And that has definitely been the case. And the stories that we're hearing is that, voting is giving some sense of normalcy, or voting is their way of giving back, or voting is their way of weighing in on, how the response has been to the disaster. And, whatever the motivation, I am so amazed to say that we are actually seeing Western North Carolina's turnout for early voting outpacing the rest of the state. And the state as a whole is setting records. So I just think that that's just so telling of the commitment of Western North Carolinians to be a part of the process, the commitment of the workers there in that community to make sure voting could be delivered. And I think, I don't know if it's the circumstances of Helene or if they were already just as committed, but, we had folks standing in line the first day of early voting, and it had already dropped to, in the 30s. In the mountains, and yet they were waiting to make sure they could cast their ballot. So it's we expect that to continue as water has come back to the Asheville area in particular. We've seen things have improved there, and in other areas we've seen an uptick in participation. So we feel like we're heading for a very strong election day too.
And that is a wrap. I hope you found today's program informative, if not helpful. Thanks to Karen Brinson-Bell for being our Teletown Hall guest. Thank you to Jason Kong for production. Thank you for listening. This has been AARP Without Limits. We'll see you next week with a post-election special. Take care.